views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. It is a Friday afternoon, as some would say, end of the work week. But for too many people here in the United States, they have to work like 7 days a week and have more than one job, two and three jobs. So, but it is Friday afternoon as I broadcast to you from the state of North Carolina, which again finally has a new governor named after the election. Counting of the ballots kind of drug on and allegations of election fraud, but the Republican Governor Pat McCrory is finally on his way out. But like I stated in my BTR News weekly for Tanya Free and Friends, one of our media partners, he has left a wake of destruction that still needs to be repaired legislatively. So finally, they have a new governor elect, which would be Roy Cooper. Let's hope that the new boss ain't like the old boss. We shall see. All right, so we do have a couple of particular stories that I want to direct your attention to. For the duration of the broadcast, I want to talk about these stories, but I will go over some quick news items, things that you should be aware of. But the main stories that I want to talk about is the black lawyer telling black jurors to stop convicting black people. He must be on to something, because there is a lot of white wing, let's just call them the white wing. We're not going to call them right wing or left wing or any. We're going to call them the white wing. And so the white wing, these websites are really up in arms. You got these people on Twitter who is sending this man who wrote the article, who is an attorney, death threats and what have you. So that's a story that we need to focus on. And since they are responding so vehemently and viciously, he must be on to something. He must be on to something. So all throughout the program, even if I move on to another topic, if you think of something, if this is logical, what he is proposing. So what is he proposing? Well, attorney Eli Mistel says that black jurors should acquit black defendants charged with all violent crimes against white people, including murder, as a way to undermine the racist criminal justice system and respond to the acquittals and no charges against slave catchers who murder citizens. As I already stated on Twitter, he is on Twitter. Immediately, they started attacking him, and you even had some black folks quoting some Bible scripture, talking about eye for eye, we shouldn't live like this and like that. So definitely interested in dissecting what this man had to say. Right off top, from what I've read, makes logical sense to me. I have even proposed it. Others proposed it before me, and people have engaged in what is known as jury nullification. There is a legal term for it, because it's been in practice for hundreds and hundreds of years, where if even technically you believe that. Give me just a second. I have to take a unexpected break. Something going on here in the studio. So I'll be right back on the other side. Hey. Oh. No. No. right, we are back. Sorry about that unexpected interruption, but getting back to this article. Now, Mr. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but Mr. Misto is a practicing licensed attorney, I believe, in the New York area. He's also the editor-in-chief, from what I could gather, of a website called Above the Law, which writes about legal matters. So, he has this article in his title, Here's How Black People Could Use Jury Nullification to Break the Justice System. So we have linked to that on the blog on blacktalkradionetwork.com for BTR News. You can get there, but we'll go over some of what he wrote later. But I'm more intrigued by the response. I'm more intrigued. Well, not really. This is a counter-racist tactic that I think could be used to undermine the criminal justice system. And again, have talked about it in the past, where people would not convict people of helping enslaved Africans escape from slavery. They passed a law saying, if you help an enslaved African to freedom, we can put you in a prison for that. We can take your property, destroy your family, and all of that. And so you have some jurors who would, even though the evidence shows they helped a person escape to freedom, those jurors would vote not guilty. This is something that has been pushed a very long time in the drug war, a nonviolent tactic. And again, we're talking about nonviolence. Mr. Misto isn't telling anyone to go out there and kill white people. He's telling black jurors stop convicting black people as a response to, well, you just saw Slager get off, and which is what I think prompted him, Mr. Misto, to write this article. So we'll take a look at that. But speaking of jury nullification or the lack thereof, citizens continue to send other citizens into legalized slavery over these nonviolent victimless crimes. You could call them drug crimes, prostitution, when it's involving adults and they are not forcing their will or anything upon another person, where if there is no victim, there is no crime. Now, we, for whatever religious reasons, morality or whatnot, we want to outlaw such behavior, you know, based on the Bible and what have you. But is it in fact a crime? Is it, if there's no victim, where's the crime? Yeah, we can argue all day long that they victimizing themselves. So is that logical, to throw somebody into slavery for victimizing themselves? It makes no logical sense. And it's just a front to continue the practice of legalized slavery and human trafficking. So we got another egregious example of this of these slave catchers in Des Moines, Iowa, where hundreds of these cases, drug war cases, are under review following the resignation of just two slave catchers amid accusations that they planted evidence on victims of modern day slavery and human trafficking. So definitely want to look at that. Again, this is two people, two slave catchers. You may call them cops or police officers, but these are two slave catchers, right? This is their job, their specialty, to fight the drug war. And they planted evidence on people and put innocent people into slavery, which they shouldn't, even if they had these substances. Again, where do we draw the line between free will, liberty, and freedom? Or is that just something people like to say, just words people like to use to describe the United States and what goes on here, while ignoring all of these egregious violations? Not only ignoring them, but I would say a majority of people even supporting this type of stuff. But if they can fool you with pageantry, you know, these flag ceremonies and these, what would we call those, toy soldiers and what have you, and get you to fall for all of it, man, what does that say about you? Your mentality, your education, you just gone. You just so hooked in the Matrix got you. Let me see. Another story we want to take a look at. The following the murder of former NFL player Joe McKnight, another non-white NFL player has become the victim of a terrorist attack. Terrorists and thieves broke into the apartment of Nikita Whitlock and his family and left terrorist messages painted on the wall. Whitlock is a running back for the New York Giants. The terrorists are still on the loose. And one of the things that stuck out to me was the headline of this story. I'll link to the stories, today's stories. But it's being investigated as a hate crime. That's what the headlines read. The killing of Joe Sims. We'll talk about him also today. Not Joe Sims. What was his name? William Sims, not Joe Sims. Got the two victims confused there. But they describing these as hate crimes. And they have hate crime legislation. And again, I have listened to both sides of the argument of hate crimes, and I agree they should be repealed because you already have laws on the books, and these were probably passed since 9/11 or whatnot, but you got terrorist laws on the book. These aren't acts of hate. These people may be haters of their victims, race, color, whatever. They may hate, but these aren't hate crimes. These are terrorist attacks. The sort of attacks that have been going on this continent against non-white people, mainly Native Americans and Black people, Afro-descendant people. The terrorist attacks that have been going on since the colonial days. Why do we, as victims of this system, continue to allow this? These are terrorists, and we should demand that I vote too, but I am not in the mindset that these people work for me. And I'm not going to get into the pros and cons of voting. But why aren't we demanding of these officials that they treat it as terrorist attacks? Just like they charge, I mentioned the other day, the guy in New York who planted some bombs, got into a shootout with some police, got shot, but he lived to stand trial. They charging him with terrorism. Why isn't the Ku Klux Klan or any variation of these white nationalist racist organizations that put out racist propaganda, the kind that inspires people like Dylann Roof to take action, why aren't they on a terrorist watch list? They're not. They're being protected. They're being protected. And indeed, so you need to wake up as a victim of this and realize that you don't have anybody on your side to protect you. Sure, people get arrested, but again, look at Slager. It ain't just Slager. We can count case after case after case after case where terrorists, slave catchers with badges, get away with murder. Even when you catch them on video, there's always one terrorist who ends up on the jury pool who won't convict. We saw it in Charlotte. So, another thing that came to my mind with this story is all of these showcase NFL players that be on these networks and they trying to throw shade at Colin Kaepernick and talk junk about him and what he's doing and not honoring the slaver's flag. I mean, that really says more about your mentality than it says about him. It says he reads and he knows history. It says to you about you is, well, you really just a dumb jock that white people pay to get your opinions on white people's networks. That's all you are if you throwing shade. But now one of your alumni, Joe McKnight, been murdered. They didn't even move to charge him. It took pressure from the community to get that man charged. And now you got Nikita Whitlock and his family becoming victims of racist terrorism. So what you going to do? What you going to say, Charles Barkley, at the next town hall? And I must repeat, Black people, When you hear about one of these TNT-sponsored town halls with Charles Barkley, where he's supposed to come in and talk to y'all about solving the problem of police terrorism in your community, do not go. Do not go. Do not go. All they're trying to do is make money off of black pain. And Charles Barkley is not the sort of black person who is in such a state that he can talk to anybody or teach anybody about racism or police terrorism. All they're doing is exploiting you right now. It's more black exploitation. Speaking of terrorists on the loose, I mentioned earlier William Sims. You got a terrorist by the name of Ray Simmons. He's about 32 years old. We'll throw up his picture later in the broadcast. Ray Simmons of Hercules, California, and Daniel Ortega, 31, of Novato, California. Both of these men are white. Do not be fooled by the last names or surnames or anything like that. Both of these men are white terrorists, and they still on the loose weeks after they have murdered William Sims, a Richmond musician. We had an article come out today. I think it was the San Francisco Chronicle. Yes, San Francisco Chronicle published an article about Mr. William Sims' final moments before he left this bar and was attacked right outside the bar, right in the bar driveway. Nobody came to help him. Nobody called the police until after it was too late. So we want to talk about that, but we want to highlight the fact that where is your national media in throwing up these terrorists who are on the loose, armed and dangerous, as they have been described by law enforcement? Where are they pictures constantly on 24/7 being shown on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, and on and on and on and on? Are they showing these terrorists? Are they acting like they concerned that we have these two terrorists on the loose who have killed an American citizen, and who may kill more? Who may kill more? I don't think so. We got President Obama talking, pushing a theory of fake news. It's not a theory, it's just an outright lie, and talking about opening up an investigation into a hacking of the election. Well, why don't you start with the Democratic primary, that where hackers helped Hillary Clinton in Arizona? You think he gonna start there? No, he gonna look at the general election. I cannot wait to January the 20th for this man to be out the door. But I don't hear him making an appeal to Americans to turn these terrorists in, because obviously somebody is harboring these terrorists. They're likely in Oregon. This happened in California. They probably likely in Oregon or Washington. Heavily wooded areas. You've had a number of terrorist attacks in Oregon, so that's where I would be looking. But I'm still not hearing any reports of any, let's say, fourth state law enforcement collaboration hunting these terrorists down, like y'all hunted down Christopher Dorner after he popped off and killed a couple of slave catchers. He's a former cop and military veteran. Not seeing the manhunt that y'all used to go after him, track him down to a cabin in the woods, and then burn the cabin down and with him in it alive, burned him alive. I'm not hearing about any such thing going on in relation to Ray Simmons and Daniel Ortega. So what y'all think about that? What are y'all thoughts on that? I don't know. Maybe some of us need to deputize ourselves, because the law enforcement don't be seeming to take these threats against non-white people serious. We pay taxes like everybody else, but we are not protected. In fact, we are preyed upon by these very individuals that we pay in salaries. So those are some of the main news stories. that I want to look in more, share more details with you. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to share, give us a call at 866-510-9025. The other number is 704-802-5056. Or you can dial in from a computer anywhere in the world with an internet connection. Hit us up at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. You'll also find more international numbers if you would like to make a toll-free call into today's program. So those four stories are the ones that really caught my eye. But before I get into those, oh, by the way, to unmute yourself on the board, just hit **. If I'm not looking, I will eventually look and see your profile highlighted on the board, and we'll come to you. But before I get into those main stories, just a couple of so-called top stories of the day. Obama orders deep dive of election-related hacking, as I just stated. He ain't talking about going so deep to find out who in Arizona, who hacked the Arizona voter database and flipped these Democrats to Republicans and flipped Republicans to Democrats, and that favored Hillary Clinton. There were other reports as well, a vote flipping at these machines. No, he just gonna look at the again, this guy got less than what? 2 months left in office, man, just get out the door. We don't need you starting nothing new. You won't take cannabis off the Schedule One list of the DEA drugs and have all these millions and millions of enslaved people freed and records clean that you have put in prison over in slavery over cannabis. He ain't doing nothing like that, but he gonna launch this deep dive of election related hacking. And I actually read an article in my email, one of my email alerts, that, and y'all can Google this, but the Secretary of State in Georgia said that their database, somebody attempted to penetrate their database. Now, this was after the elections were over. This was after the November 8th. I think he said, if I remember correctly, they got hacked November the 16th, somewhere around there. It was after the election, about a week or so after. And their software, their security software that they had set up for their database, tracked the hack to the United States Homeland Security headquarters. Think about that. So what were they doing? Perhaps trying to plant some evidence or something like that, and then turn around and say, hey, see, here's evidence that the Russians or people acting on behalf of the Russians. Again, what do the Russians care who becomes president? You know, really. So, I mean, well, I know they do care because of policy and what have you, but without any proof, we've had the administration as well as the Hillary Clinton campaign pushing this fake news upon us, starting these rumors, innuendos without any proof whatsoever. You telling me some CIA cybersecurity analyst, unnamed, whatever person said that, oh, the Russians are doing it, and then you don't even tell me the Russian person name. What's their name? No details whatsoever. And then you use vague language like probably. Well, probably is a long way from did do. Okay? So anyway, man, can't wait for this man to get out of office. Let me see what else. Jurors here, Dylan Roof explained shooting in the videotape confession. We did a whole program on that yesterday. I don't have too much more to say about that. Bernie Sanders is calling Trump a pathological liar. Well, you know what? So was Hillary Clinton. And obviously, people say you got some stank on you, too, because you fell right in line with a murderous and known liar. Let me see. Well, where are some of those other stories that I... Let me see. The heavily armed mannequin challenge video leads to gun arrest. I don't know if y'all saw the videos of the young black people who did this mannequin challenge where what it consists of is people just standing still like a mannequin, and I guess somebody with a video phone just walking through and videotaping them. So these guys, and they were black, decided that they was going to do one with guns, and a couple of them were felons. And knowing that they are no longer citizens, or should have known they are no longer citizens, we don't care if you did do your time in the slavery like they said you did. They strip your rights depending upon what state you in. You may not even be able to vote. So you not a citizen no more. You got that slave brand on you, and they should have known that. They should have known that. This is, again, being aware of the battlefield condition. So what did the slave catchers do? Oh, they love it when you post that kind of stuff to social media under your real names and all of that, thinking you're going to get a bunch of likes and social media popularity, bunch of video views and all. And that's going to lead to two people being put back into slavery. Slave catchers are lurking on Facebook. There have been many articles I have reported on them. Why do you think we created BTRCommunity.com? Okay. Using your real name, posting this kind of silly stuff. Now, yeah, I mean, it's silly. I was a kid one time. I understand young people get involved in these fads, and so I'm not going to dog them out for being young and wasting their time doing such things, but they should have known that they ain't supposed to have guns with that slave brand on their record. So, again, let me see. Next article. U.S. life expectancy declines for the first time since 1993. This goes along with other reports I have been talking about, reading. And this goes along with white people's birth rate in the United States. We ain't talking about Europe. Because, see, Europe gave their people universal health care. So they're getting health care. They get paid maternity leave. We've all heard how much better it is for the working class over in Europe than it is here in the United States. And so all of this is catching up to them, man. Especially with lots of white people out of work. Can't access health care. Now, guess what? What I thought about. Oh, now they see what it's like to be a Negro in health care in the United States. Now, their life expectancy rates are low. Now, again, I'm going to look into this more deeply later, but this probably has a bunch of variables. Because you have also another story coming out that says heroin deaths have surpassed gun homicides for the very first time. So it's more people dying from the barrel of a needle than a barrel of a gun in the United States. And they're mainly white people. Mainly white. I think black people learned their lesson back in the 90s when the CIA flooded the black community with that cheap cocaine, which was turned into crack, and it ran its course through the community. I think black folks learned their lesson about drugs. Obviously, all black folks have not stopped using drugs, but they ain't using their hard stuff like white folks is using it here in the United States. And so you got heroin deaths surpassing gun homicide. There are more people, white people, killing themselves with a needle than they are being killed with guns in a so-called murder. Think about that. Think about that. And then also, are they also thinking about the white males particularly, and they want to let white females get in there too on the battlefield worldwide? The whole world's a battlefield, but I mean particularly armed struggle. How many of them have been killed, let's say, since 2001 in service to USA Inc.? How many? Lots. And then they come back, and a lot of them are killing themselves. I talked about this the other day as well. And now on top of that, their life expectancy declines for the first time since 1993. That tells me they're not getting access to health care like they used to or what have. So lots of things to figure into the decline of the white population inside the United States. I mean, they basically have been, it's literally, this is evidence, I should say, of what people would say about how the white working class votes for people with policies that are actually bad for them as white working class white people. We're seeing evidence of that. All because, and I'm not dealing in general sweeps of or indictments of entire classifications of people, but for the most part, though, I don't think that there are a lot of white people who did not care about the health disparities or the death or life expectancy disparities between them and black people, because as long as, you know, they was benefiting. Now we're seeing they're not benefiting as much as they thought. So those are just some quick news headlines that I came across today. We're going to take a station identification break, kick some message music. I had some new music sent to me, but I haven't had a chance to review it yet, so I'm not going to air it today. But if you are an independent artist out there, you want to give us permission to air your music, we definitely want to help you get your message music out. So when we come back on the other side, first story we want to jump into is the article, "Here's How Black People Could Use Jury Nullification to Break the Justice System." And it was published on the website Above the Law. Above the Law. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. I'll be back on the other side.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
To end colonialism. colonialism, to end racism, to end sexism. Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and an equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means protecting the people, the plants, the animals, the air, the water. Revolution means saving this planet. Revolution is love.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, this is Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines. The next story, I said I wanted to take a more in-depth look at this above the law article. Here's how black people could use jury nullification to break the justice system. But before I get into this, again, as I stated in the first half hour, why do we keep sending people into slavery over nonviolent drug crimes? And when I say we, I use that word loosely because I just turned 50 years old about 9 days ago, and I've only been called for jury duty one time. I have no criminal record. Never been to prison, decorated U.S. military veteran, participated in the Gulf War. You would think that I would be the sort of person they looking for to put on the jury. And my whole time since I've been registered to vote, because that's how you get, one of the ways you get in North Carolina, get in the jury pool, as well as having a North Carolina ID, state issue ID or driver's license. That's how you get in the jury pool. But and since I was 18 years old, got to take away six of those years that I was gone in the military, but came right back here, and I've only been called one time for jury duty. So when I say we, and I think Mr. points out in his article, it's even rare for black people to get on the jury. Look again at Slager case, one black man on the jury in North Charleston. In South Carolina, a state with high population of black people, what's going on there? So, and then a few of us who do make it to jury duty, and by the way, I was called for a civil trial, a property dispute between two white people, and I thought it was more important to visit a college where my daughter was thinking about going to than to sit up here and listen to these white people bicker over their property line. So I told the judge, he let me out. So yeah, but if it had been a black person on trial for a nonviolent drug crime designed to put them into slavery, I would have stayed. I think my daughter would have understood my reasoning for wanting to be on that jury. So the few of us who do make it through, we keep going right along. We want to be part of the system. We want to be more American than white people, and we use that as an opportunity to show our gang colors of red, white, and blue. That's what's going on, man. It's a lot of psychological warfare that is going on, so don't think that I'm dogging these people out. I'm just making note of their behavior. Be many causes for it. Let's get into some of this article. Again, this was published December 7th, just 2 days ago, on the website AboveTheLaw.com. Mr. Mistel, who is a licensed attorney, said African Americans live in a world where the police can murder us and get away with it. Walter Scott proved that for anybody who still had a lingering doubt. There is no justice for black people, and yet violently revolting against the system will get us nowhere. Well, it depends, but I'm not going to get into that. Maybe it's time for black people to use the same tool white people have been using to defy a system they do not consent to: jury nullification. White juries regularly refuse to convict or indict cops for murder. White juries refuse to convict vigilantes who murder black children. White juries refuse to convict other white people for property crimes. White juries act like the law is just a guideline in their personal morality, or lack thereof, should be controlling. Maybe it's time minorities got in the game. He's asking a question, and I'm going to put that question to y'all. After I get through reading some of this, I'm putting that question to the listening audience. You can give us a call, chime in, 866-510-9025, toll-free U.S. and Canada. Man, their website just keeps moving around. Black people lucky enough to get on a jury could use that power to acquit any person charged with a crime against white men and white male institutions. It's not about the race of the defendant, but if the alleged victim is a white guy, or his bank, or his position, or his authority, we could acquit. Assault? Acquit. Burglary? Acquit. Insider training? Acquit. Murderer? Well, what the hell do you think is happening to black people out here? What the hell do you think we're complaining about when your cops shoot us or choke us? Acquit. Don't throw murder at me like it's some kind of moral fault line where the risk of letting one go is too great. Black people, in big, bold, capital letters, he writes, are being murdered. And the system isn't doing a damn thing to hold their killers accountable. What did the proxy racist tool of the system, Barack Obama, say to black people after they let George Zimmerman go? The law has spoken, or something to that effect. The jury has spoken. The law is what it is. We must respect the law. This has been going on for hundreds of years, people. For hundreds of years. And I do agree with some people out there who question why black people want to act like they so much more moral than other people. And it's getting us nowhere. Be the first to forgive. Be the first to condemn one of our people when they murder a slave catcher or something like that. I shouldn't even use the word murder, but kill a slave catcher. This has been going on for hundreds of years. I bet some of you may have, even back in the day, well, we know you wouldn't have been allowed on the jury, but you would convict Nat Turner. You really would. You would convict him. So, we got to do something to combat this mentality. And this is his suggestion. The most well-known recent proponent of black jury nullification is probably Georgetown University law professor Paul Butler. He's written about jury nullification for defendants in drug cases. Again, like I stated, this has been pushed for a very long time. But it don't get to the masses because the media is controlled. Again, it's kind of like incorrect to even say we have black radio other than the alternative websites, the alternative digital radio stations like we have, the alternative platforms and news outlets like Black Agenda Report, the Real News Network, you know. The other radio on CBS Radio, whoever Tom Joyner and them work for, they don't be pushing nothing like this. They don't be having these conversations with their listening audience. Hey, this guy might be on to some, or listening audience, what do y'all think? Should black people stop sending other black people into slavery over nonviolent victimless crimes? Shouldn't we be turning these people who are drug addicts over to the church and let the church help them with their drug addiction and lay hands on them, pray for them, meet their physical needs, help them get their life back together? No, we want to go right along with the evil system and say, yes, he had the weed. He admits he had the weed, or the slave catcher said he had the weed, and I believe slave catchers above anybody else, so I'm a vote to send them into slavery. Those conversations are not being had on any kind of mass communication network, even if black people, non-white people, are hosting it, because they don't own the platform. Okay, so he's talking about Professor Paul Butler. He says he's written about jury nullification for defendants in drug cases from an op-ed he wrote in the Washington Post. Like a lot of African Americans, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I encourage any juror who thinks the police or prosecutors have crossed the line in a particular case to refuse to convict. Confronting the racial crisis in criminal justice, jury nullification gives jurors a special power to send a message that black lives matter. If they think that the police are treating African Americans unfairly by engaging in racial profiling or using excessive force, they don't have to convict, even if they think the defendant is guilty. Look, we've seen examples of this. Go back to Emmett Till, his murder. Did none of them crackers vote to convict them other crackers? None of them did. This has happened who knows how many times in courtrooms across America, even going back to the colonies, the colonial days, where it was first determined, I might add, I think it was in the Virginia courthouse, where slavery for life, chattel slavery, was introduced to this continent, where they ruled that somebody could, in fact, be held in slavery for life because they were African descendant, black. Yet, and then I'm not just gonna put it on black people, cause light has been pointed out, ain't really no black people getting on these juries. They are, again, I'm 50 years old, been registered to vote, had a driver's license going back to when I got a learner's permit. Only been called to the jury pool here in North Carolina, in this county, one time for a civil case. That's it. My mother, who's in her 60s, no, about to hit 70-something. Never. She ain't never been in prison. She ain't got no criminal record. Worked at a job for over 20-something years, retired. Why hasn't she been called for jury duty here in this county? And this plays out all across America. Can take our property taxes, sales taxes on us, make us pay for the roads and all that kind of stuff with the taxes on the gas. But are we being treated like citizens? No, we're not. And we don't even have the modern day slave brand, and we're being treated like this, left out. This is something that intellectual black people with legal training talk about. Honestly, what the hell do you expect us to do? How do white people think we're supposed to react when we watch cops murder us and get away with it over and over and over again? We're just supposed to take it, wait for America to produce nicer white people? The options for black America in the face of this state-sponsored injustice seems pretty limited. So going back to what I was saying about not putting this, while we do want to have this conversation with the black community, if you're one of those lucky enough to get on a jury, we do want to have this conversation. But if you're a so-called good white person out there, you're against the drug war, you don't think that the government You think that the government is exceeding its power and become dictatorial and tyrannical and putting people, all these people, into what they're telling you is mass incarceration, which is really a continuation of slavery. Then why do you convict? Why do you convict people of nonviolent drug crimes? Or any nonviolent victimless crime for that matter? Whether it's prostitution or whatever. Everybody don't have the same moral code. There are some things people will do that I will not do. But what I should not do is force my moral code on somebody else. As long as, again, nobody was harmed. If you have two consenting adults, where's the victim? Why do we continue to vote guilty on these type of stuff? And then also we must consider that 97%, as high as 97% of all cases that go through the courts end in a plea deal. They threaten you with so much time and stack the charges, and you know you don't have money for an attorney, or your attorney is telling you to take the deal. 97% of these cases end up in plea deals. Stop taking plea deals then. Take your chances with a jury. That'll back the courts up so year, it might be so far, it might be 20 years for your case even come up to trial. Think about it. Clog, that's another nonviolent tactic to undermine the system. Again, it's easy for me to say that because I'm not being threatened with 20 years or something like that for a pound of cannabis or something. I'm not being threatened like that. But it's going that, hey, if you want the system to change, then you're going to have to make sacrifice. Stop taking plea deals for victimless crimes. He goes on to write, let me find my place again because the page refreshed itself. Let's see. You'll note that Butler's focus is with the defendant. If you think the defendant is being charged under an unfair law or a law that is being applied unfairly, you should nullify that law by acquitting the defendant. My issue is with the purported victim. Minorities are victims of police brutality in this country, and there aren't enough white citizens willing to do a damn thing. I no longer see why minorities should be expected to help white victims achieve the justice they so regularly deny people of color. There's precedent for my view. Butler also notes that there is a richer and higher moral use of jury nullification. Here's an interview he did with NPR. It was a proud tradition, you know. Slavery used to be legal. Well, it still is, Mr. Professor Butler. We're going to have to send you an email and get you to read the 13th Amendment. But jurors in the North, when slaves would be prosecuted for escaping, or people who helped slaves escape were prosecuted, Northern jurors would say not guilty, even though technically those folks were guilty. So I already talked about that. This page keeps refreshing. He goes on to say, jury nullification at least has the benefit of being nonviolent. Understand, when armed forces of the state can shoot me for no reason and get away with it, I'm no longer living in a civil society. Again, it's a battlefield out there. Slave catching going on 24/7. I'm living in the state of nature, and I have a natural right to defend myself by any means necessary. He's talking about the law of the jungle. Heard Robert F. Williams, the author of Negroes with Guns, and a proud black revolutionary from North Carolina. But I'm not here advocating a violent response to systemic injustice because we lose. Well, that's your opinion. Violence has a tendency to be indiscriminate anyway. Instead, jury nullification is more of a surgical strike on illegitimate justice system that has failed us, and it can be accomplished without the protection of the Second Amendment, which is denied to black people anyway. And white allies can join in too if they feel so compelled. As we've learned, it only takes one person out of 12 to neuter the justice system. One person out of 12 who recognizes that the system itself is on trial, every trial, and it is guilty. White people have rendered this country incapable of holding police officers accountable. There might be some white allies who are ready to do more than post frowny emojis on Facebook. There are a lot of protest ideals floating around, but jury nullification would get white people's attention. Remember how pissed off white people were about OJ? And that was just one dude. White people would notice if black jurors simply refused to play along. We can bitch and we can march and we can refuse to stay in Trump hotels, but until the system stops giving white people something they want, the orderly procession of justice, then they will not be motivated to change the system. I want chaos in the prosecutor's office, and you can't accomplish that with a bomb or a gun, but you can with an acquittal. Lots of acquittals, all the acquittals. There are counties in this country where the justice system would grind to a halt if prosecutors couldn't find black and brown people willing to convict or indict. Nobody cares if they can't get an indictment against a police officer whose only crime was the murder of an African American. But let's see how Preet Bharara likes it when he can't get an indictment for political corruption. Defendant accused of taking advantage of the system, acquit. Let's see what happens in Brooklyn when they can't evict anybody ever again, refusing to pay rent to a white man, acquit. Let's see what happens in Hollywood when you can't bring a case against pirates stealing the white man's movies, acquit. Yes, this is roughly Al Pacino's plan in The Devil's Advocate. So he goes on to quote some stuff from there. So I think it is a logical suggestion that could achieve what it sets out to achieve. But again, it can't be achieved by black people, as he points out, that it ain't enough of us on the jury. So maybe a case here, a case there, where one of us get on the jury, they trying to send somebody into slavery for killing a slave catcher, and you vote no. You say, no, not guilty. I don't care if you got him on video shooting a slave catcher in the back while he was running away from you and was 25 yards away. This is what has been going on in this country for hundreds of years. Now, check this out. Let me share this with you. This guy's been getting death threats for writing this, and he wrote a whole lot more. Obviously, I'm not going to read it all, but he wrote a whole lot more. And on Twitter, he's been getting death threats. This one person says this douche would be dead before any such actions happen. He should already be watching his six at all times, given the editorial, talking about the article he wrote. So here, this man is saying that, using military terms, he probably ain't never even been in the military, but he heard them use that term in a doggone movie or something. He should be watching his six. Who talks like that? I mean, come on, really? So this man has been getting death threats. And the racist white wing media has been echoing similar thoughts. Oh, it blew up, man. If you go look at Breitbart.com, the website that was edited by Stephen Bannon, oh, they having a fit over there, man. Look, read the comments of these racist crackers. How dare this black lawyer suggest that black people shouldn't convict other black people for killing slave catchers or anybody else? And what tripped me out is I just heard this expressed on the Lotus Place radio show Wednesday night, where one of the ladies, and she's in her 60s or 70s, I'm not sure exactly, but she's an elder. And she said, they were talking about what happened with Joe McKnight and what she's been seeing on the local media. And she lives down there in Alabama or Mississippi, I think, right across the border. But she was saying, I don't care if I ain't voting to convict no black person for killing one of these white people. They could blow his head off, and I'm not going to vote to convict. And so when I saw this article, I was like, darn. Maybe she heard this or saw this, or maybe that's where that was coming from, or maybe she came to that conclusion independently of Mr. Mistow. But it would certainly force these people to adjust. I think it's very logical. Very, very logical. So if you have any comments on that, we are at the top of the hour. I'm going to take another station identification break and message music. But when we come back, if you have any questions or comments, if you want to answer that question, what was his question again? I mean, he really thought about this, because he used a lot of words to make his argument. So, and it's just disgusting to see people threatening him. And I bet they are not threatening them. People that's threatening him, I bet they ain't trying to seek out and find and threaten that terrorist suspect that was on Slager's jury that let him go. Bet they ain't making no, they probably saying the attaboys, patting him on the back and on the head and all that kind of stuff. So is this a viable tactic? Again, because of how black people are kept off of juries, I don't think it's viable. I don't think it would happen enough to cause the system to change. But again, it would have tremendous propaganda value. Tremendous propaganda value, as it would send shockwaves in the system. Let's see how they will react to that. So I think it would be worthwhile, but I don't know how much time I got left in this form on this planet. I'm 50 years old, and I'm not expecting them to call me for jury duty anytime soon. Right, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network. If you support independent media, I know the U.S. government's been telling y'all that a lot of independent media is fake news and what have you, when they are the sources of much of the fake news that the corporations put out. Like all the lies they told on Gaddafi, all the lies they told on Saddam. Come on. So, if you support independent media, we would ask that you would support the Black Talk Media Project with a donation of any amount. You can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and make a small donation. You'll also find our mailing address if you want to send a check or a money order. We'll be back on the other side. The phone lines will be open. If we don't have any questions or comments, we will briefly review some of these other stories. Tando Radio Show on the network is coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, part of our live broadcasting of the day. So make sure that you stay tuned for that.
Radio, your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back. this, speaking of jury nullification and the whole drug war thing, again, I'm not surprised, I'm not shocked, but Donald Trump calling that mass murderer, Duterte, the president of the Philippines, who has been hunting down and gunning down people suspected of using drugs, people suspected of selling drugs, and their family members. So, I mean, this is just, I don't know. How much is too much? Obviously, putting millions of people into prison over drugs instead of hospitals and getting them help. And then who are you to say they need help? Long as they ain't harming you, we got many functioning addicts in professional, all walks of life, including your president, Barack Obama. He's a functioning addict. Y'all know that, right? Anyway, hundreds of cases are under review after cops resign amid planted evidence claim. This comes from copblock.org. Hundreds of investigations are now under review. According to the Des Moines police officials, it's believed that senior officers, give me just a moment, let me pull up this story for those. Here we go. Yeah, according to Des Moines police officials, it's believed that senior officers, both of these are white terrorist suspects, Joshua Judge and Tyson Toot, planted drugs on a suspect during a January 2015 case that was then passed on to other investigators. The suspect would ultimately be arrested. It is not currently clear what the outcome of the case was, but Police Sergeant Paul Peresk said at a news conference on Tuesday that the department was only informed about the incident in question on Friday as the result of a complaint. He did not specify who filed it. Judge and Toot reportedly resigned on Monday. The accusation could eventually lead to criminal charges, and an internal investigation has already been launched, which will now be tasked with examining hundreds of cases worked on by both of the cops dating back to August 2013, when they each joined the department. So that's how they moved up. That's how they got promoted, because they promote people who by arrest. So they was going around going to whoever their personal drug dealers were, buying drugs, or whether they was stealing it from the police department and then planting it on people so they could act like, oh, I'm just, you know, this special cop with this drug sensing ability. That's how I'm able to get all these, you know, suspects up on drug charge, and they planting the dog on drugs. So again, anybody that's talking about liberty and freedom in the land of slavery and slave catching, I don't have anything nice to say about that person. Let me just put it like that. This is going to be a long, very extensive internal investigation. It's going to be very thorough. Why do I not believe that? Just because he said it, I don't believe it. Especially if the majority of their victims are non-white. Now, I understand not a lot of non-white people live in Iowa, but I'm willing to bet you, though, that if you pull up the mug shots of all of their arrests, that they were able to not only have seek out and find people with these mysterious drugs that appear out of nowhere, but they were able to seek out and find non-white people. They had non-white people radar in that white state. So it says Peresk added that no other officers have been accused of wrongdoing as a result of the allegation, and stipulated that the department will keep the Polk County Attorney's Office updated as the investigator. So these are slave catchers investigating themselves. How many times do we have to say that sentence? Slave catchers investigating themselves. What do you think the outcome's going to be? I'm sure these guys, if they're like most guys, I shouldn't say that, but I'm sure they probably told other people on the job, hey man, you need to make that quota? Okay, meet me somewhere. And then they meet up and he was like, here, take this packet and just start planting it on people you pull over for broken tail lights or fell in the signal and stuff like that. Now help you meet your quotas. And then, you know, these drug arrests are valued higher because we get federal grants based on drug arrests. So everybody wins at the department. Now, do you really think that this investigation is going to turn up anything like that? Of course not. Of course not. These two will be sacrificed so that the rest can continue on with their illegal operation. Some are calling for more stringent measures, however, like a Department of Justice and FBI probe, and say that the outcome of the investigation will have extensive implications for Des Moines. These might even include overturning the convictions of violent criminals who have been prosecuted based on the work of Judge Antoot. Well, if he planted evidence on them, okay, and if we're talking about drugs, again, drugs is not a violent crime. So if they planted drugs on somebody who happened to get also convicted of murder, this would not overturn the murder charge. This would reverse the drug conviction. You see how these people play games with you. They just take you for stupid. It's not clear what prior disciplinary history, if any, of the two slave catchers have with the police department. Both collected a salary of $73,132 when they resigned. In addition to being a cop, Judge served and still currently serves as a tech sergeant in a security forces squadron in the Iowa Air National Guard. Again. And, a spokesperson for the guard said that no action against Judge will be taken until the outcome of the police investigation. So, there you go. There you go. How many innocent people have been put into slavery because of these two? And now you think about that you got almost a million cops, if not a million cops in some capacity in the United States. And just think of how much damage they have done in destroying innocent people by planting evidence on them. You don't get to have the world's largest slave labor force, the world's largest, without slave catchers doing these sort of things. Because it's just not that many people out there committing that many crimes. So, let me see. Again, the telephone number, if you have a question or comment on the board, to get on the board, it is 866-510-9025 or 704-802-5056. Hit ** to unmute yourself. You can also hit us up via uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. You'll also find some international numbers. So, again, why are these people worthy of the pedestal that the media puts on them? These stories come out more than what you know. So, I tell you, man, although I doubt I will ever be on a jury where a slave catcher has been killed, but I tell you, if I get on one, I'm voting not guilty, and you can blame the system for it. I'm tired of this injustice, man. All right, let's move on to the next story. This involves another act of terrorism, even though the corporate media, as well as your governments, whether we're talking about the federal government, the state government, the different levels of law enforcement, they are not referring to these activities as terrorist attacks. This was a terrorist attack. So, following the murder of former NFL player Joe McKnight, another NFL player has become the victim of a terrorist attack. I would classify him as white, although it's possible he could have a non-white parent, but I can't even say that because people probably think I got a non-white parent, and I don't. But I think he would be classified in the system as black. The terrorist who attacked him certainly classified him as black, so that's all that matters, doesn't it? So, terrorists and thieves broke into this player's apartment. It's going to play this audio ad. Let me just let y'all hear it. I actually recorded this, so give me a sec and I'll pull this up. His name is, what is Mr. Nikita Whitlock. Nikita Whitlock is his name. He's only 25 years old. He may be married to a white person because one of the terrorist messages that was scrawled on the walls of the apartment was called, was said nigger lover. So I'm assuming based on that, that his wife is white. And he probably was living in a mixed community or predominantly white community, and he thought that he was surrounded by nice white people. But this is what he got. This is what he discovered when him and his family came home. Him and he has children. They have children in his family. So let me find that right quick. Know that I recorded it. It's only about a couple of minutes long. So let me just find that right quick. Let's see. Playlist. All right. This might be it right here. Hey, it might only be 45 seconds. Let me see. Let me try this one. And he plays for the New York Giants, by the way.
Luis Gama.
Okay, that's not it. All right. Got to go down to the bottom here. 12-9. Okay. I'm sure that I had say this. I'm going to see if I can get the video to play properly on this article. But he talks about, Mr. Whitlock talks about how he felt when this happened. And he's a running back for the New York Giants. And I'm just wondering if any more of these NFL players are going to recognize the fact that terrorism does exist. Racism is being practiced. And you need to get out that bubble. Stop criticizing Colin Kaepernick and join him. See, he's a fullback for the Giants. All right, here we go. It's loading up for you now. I was pretty sure I had recorded that.
Olive Garden fills your holidays with new flavor-filled pairings. Freshly filled pastas bursting with...
So we're going to get about 15 seconds of this audio ad, and it's just...
Six you want. Your favorite things come together at the holidays at Olive Garden.
All right, this comes to
you. I opened the door, turned on the light, and saw the swastika. Immediately walked out, called the police. It didn't hit me until hours later when the police let me back in the house. That, you know, I started having, like, feelings, you know, being violated, feelings of hatred, feelings of, you know, kind of like, why us type thing, which it's apparent why us. Then it quickly moved from all those base emotions to, are we safe here? Are my kids safe here? Because, you know, we're not the only one violated by this. You know, I called my mom and she cried. I called my grandmother and she cried. And so, you know, for them as well as us, It's now inside their houses too. One of the things that does disturb me more is the fact that people are using Trump's name. Because to me it's like, okay, I know you believe Trump believes certain things, but he wasn't here. This was a personal decision, not a Trump decision. So, you know, next time write your name on the wall.
All right, that's... That clip of Mr. Nikita Whitlock after these terrorists broke into his house, and it's being investigated as a hate crime, and that's the problem. Investigated as a terrorist. Hate crime charges don't seem to be working in deterring people from committing terrorist acts, so just charge them like you would if they were Arabs or Muslim or something like that. Why don't you just charge them as terrorists? Because that's what they are. And then by them putting Trump on there, that makes it political. That requires the legal definition of terrorism, the political element. Not that we need racist terrorists to define terrorism for us, but according to their courts, that's what terrorism is. And so I understand what he's saying about Trump didn't do it, but Trump inspired these people to do it. Let's not act like he did not. They're feeling energized. He's going to take it back to the 1930s, where, you know, you had Woodrow Wilson screening Birth of a Nation all up in the White House, and then all of these white supremacist Confederate monuments being erected all across America, celebrating, honoring racist white terrorists who wanted to keep people in slavery, and indeed did keep people in slavery with the 13th Amendment. All of them Confederates who participated in writing the 13th Amendment. And then you want to add like Lincoln did something so great. Vanquished enemies do not get to participate in writing the legislation that so-called abolishes slavery. That's why it did not. They put that exception clause in there. Stop honoring Lincoln. I saw an article honoring him the other day, talking about he was such a, his greatness can't be denied. This man was evil. Oh, man. So, where did this take place? Because I imagine it took place in New Jersey. So this wasn't in Alabama. I don't think it was. Man, you would think that they would put where this happened, and I don't know where this happened. Let me see. The Anti-Defamation League, I just went in on them the other day, talking about they deeply troubled by the incident. These the ones that have been in a smear campaign against Keith Ellison, and these the same racists that support the racist Israeli government, who has participated in genocide not only against the Palestinian people, but the Israeli, Ethiopian Jews, because they're black. So again, this is people getting wake-up calls all across America. Now, only one teammate has said anything about this. That would be Victor Cruz. They said he was troubled by the effect Trump has had on some of his supporters. That's our problem, that you're worried about what someone or influence may be talking about in his opinion rather than attacking the actual issue at hand. And that's innocent minorities dying on a daily basis, dying on a weekly basis of going through things with the family. Vandalism, Cruz said. This is in the tri-state area. This is right here in our home. This is our backyard, and these things are happening. So, yes, this did happen in the New York, New Jersey area. Brian McCarthy, the vice president of communications for the NFL, called the incident abhorrent and disappointing and offered Whitlock and his family a home security assessment. Are they going to pay for this man to have security? Pat Hanlon, the senior vice president of communication for the Giants, declined to comment but added that the team and NFL have offered security assistance to Whitlock and his family. Y'all should pay for it, too. Y'all should pay for it, most certainly. So, you know, thankfully, this was not a story where a family was found murdered in their apartment by terrorists. But again, people keep treating this like this is just some ordinary crime or something like that. This was an act of terrorism. And they should be treated like terrorists. And I had to be careful because I believe in upholding, you know, a standard of justice. I don't want to see anyone mistreated for anything. I don't think they should go round up all the white males from the ages of 16 to 21 in that neighborhood and waterboard them until somebody confesses or narcs on the other person and tells what they know. I don't think that should happen, but I do think this should be a terrorist investigation and not simply investigated as a breaking and entering, as a robbery, as thievery, but also as terrorism. Now, before I get ready to close out, because I mean, people, we have to start treating this serious. This is terrorism. This is no different than, let's say, if I was an American somewhere overseas and I went into the bathroom and somebody followed me into the bathroom and stabbed me to death because I'm an American. They hear me talk, they saw my passport or whatever, or heard me bragging about how great America is, and that'll never happen, but, you know, so they were like, oh, y'all, you know, your country bombs my people, and then they killed a bunch of my little cousins, and so I'm gonna take it out on you. You know, yeah, we should be treating these attacks the same as the U.S. government treats those kind of attacks. This is terrorism. This is domestic terrorism. And the government is not treating it as such. They're not taking it serious. And most of the country in general is not taking it serious. Well, I hope that you will start changing your language when you write about, speak about, report about these sort of attacks. Stop calling them hate crimes. Call them terrorist attacks. That's what they are. Speaking of terrorists on the loose, we're going to take a last break of the day. Kick some message music, but I want to come back and continue my reporting on the William Sims case, where this man was the victim of white terrorism. They got one of the terrorists and his mother. I think they also arrested his mother, but they caught one of the terrorists. But you got these other two terrorists who still on the loose, and I'm not seeing any all points bulletins coming across the television screen flashing the pictures of these terrorists. I'm not seeing that. I should be seeing that. Why am I not seeing that? Can y'all explain to me why we are not seeing FBI Director Robert Mueller, I think is his name, or whoever's in the person who's in charge of Homeland Security? Why aren't they on TV making appeals, calling for people to, first of all, be safe? If you are in these areas, we got these terrorists on the loose that have killed someone, and they're targeting black people. So black people, you especially want to be extra careful around white people. In fact, here's their picture. If you see these two approach you, then you need to shoot first and ask questions later, because they've already murdered someone. They are on the run. They are fugitives. They have been told to us as being armed and dangerous. Please do not take your life into your own hands thinking you can be reasonable, that you can talk to these terrorists and whatnot. They don't understand logic or anything like that. So no, you can't talk to them. It's best to put the terrorist down right there in his tracks. That's the best thing. All right. But I'm not seeing the all points bulletin. I'm not even seeing CNN with breaking news, terrorists still on the loose. We're going to a press conference where we have a multi-state task force of law enforcement officers deep in the bush hunting these terrorists down, or going door to door in these white communities where they possibly are hiding. We're not seeing that. So before you start acting like, as a non-white person, that they value you as an American and all this and that, you can see that they don't, by their response to these terrorists being on the loose. So we'll talk about that on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc.
Activity, each ant doing its own thing, but it can't be. Somehow the ants coordinate their actions so that large insects are overwhelmed, killed, and carried back to the base.
Piers is dying, and my people are suffering. money still low, you should see how they budgeting.
Watch what comes out your mouth.
People are suffering. It's elementary, they want us all gone eventually. Peers is dying, people are suffering. The money's still low, you should see how they budgeting. Peers is dying, and my people are suffering. Cause the money's still low, they want us all gone eventually.
I swear to God, living in this economy is like a robbery. The government taxing me when they owe me for my property. You niggas act like you happy to live in poverty. When I feel like a king, they gotta make these fools acknowledge me. I'm royalty and loyal to the feeling of it. The contrast make it look thuggish. We talk, walk, and look rugged. Naturally, nothing sad to see. We all a part of this tragedy. I'm mad at you, so why you mad at me?
We headed for the times of the nine. Watch out, six. Sun cycle on the rise. Moon cycle out the mix. Living on this planet of the snakes and the crucifix. Pardon self as I unk my way through. Marching with my A-boom boom, making my debut. Like great balls of fire, nothing could save you. In these replenishing times, I honor my dead, making my ancestors proud when it's off with your head.
Does my pencil possess potential to change mentals? Yes. Show what you pen in this packet, the essential less. What is essential to keep it as sharp as against you? Yes. What is essential to keep it like a temple? Bless, alter the temple, keeping the beat simple and fresh. While they whimper and rest, I'm intuition like the simplest guess. Into tradition, I'm on a mission until I transition to give the up and coming a better existence with
I
every
seen a breath. Scorn, reaching for a coin or two. The older we get, it switches up the point of view. And they anointed you leader of the free world. Desolate minds refined to the B-girl. The most benevolent is evident who I be. Graffiti on the wall, the crew drew Ali. Zoo to our key, shifting on the paradigm. Raise the vibration, then go prepare the mind.
Define magnificent rare gem. Dip deep, the omnipotent. All singing, I just speak the game plan. I pray for niggas, amen. That Sharpie spray can I'm made man with suede bands, no street skating, no beat taking. For Pete's sake, he's a beast quaking, the scene shaking. No mistaking, the ants conquer the elephants. FTP, RBG, the rest of elephants.
What's the ant's secret that makes them the most efficient predators on Earth? Consuming more meat than lions, tigers, and wolves combined.
I'm way medicated, pup lying, laser-dated, and stay dedicated to culture that created the essence of the lessons now delivered in my presence. Kalonji called upon me, so now I pose the question. How is it that the blacks aim in whips and chains, having nothing else to lose and everything to gain? Now niggas entertain for some whips and chains, a white dame and some fame.
Is that shit not strange?
It's kinda hard holding down your dreams when you blackin' in America with institutions set to bury you 6 feet underneath dirt, a debt deep, disciples psychological when making those ends meet and needs be. A hand feeds the other teases. Gather thoughts, grab the Gatling for good reason. In between success, devil's greed, a pine box of mind jocks elusive.
And watch how I come off and camouflage, can't take cloth. Eating lentils and vegetable broth, but I ain't never been soft. Leading the loss of forsaken by any cost. Bones aching, working hard, trying to bring home the turkey bacon. Breaking laws of gravity, fuck with the family and watch me savagely. Crush craniums and chest cavities to pray for the casualties. Cause my anatomy is naturally, casually composed. This is self-construction for the soul.
I'm black dynamite, I'll blast you with my nitro. Spit a dope piece with a gold piece in a booth with five disciples. We channeling boot mind, the revolution sparker. With eight bars, cigar smoking, some dark room on the altar. Watch the daughter work a mojo, walk the stage without a hype man. Electric verses turn a great crowd into light rain. Flood psyches with an ill beat, the brain food that's got hot. Fly wisdom, call it saucy, the enlightener, that's Cy-Rock.
2012 and times are different yet the same. Nowadays the number of prisoners behind the cage outnumber amounts of those enslaved during the trades. And shame we killing ourselves over what set you blame. Getting shot instead of hang. Nothing changed for the better except the cheddar of corporate profit to gain. The more money in pocket, the more people in chains. Unite niggas who bang, destroy their main aim.
It's all connected, form a web like a Nazi. It's the people, Siafu is the army. Start a top contender, foil plots a new agenda. They even reborn a trap, sucker and beef for dinner. All that garbage I pinning, this right here's the ending. Words the venom, getting them wrapped in Egyptian linen. Coming for head, this rapper, Kali will shake the rafters. Only thing standing after, walking natural disaster, rapture.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And welcome back to, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News as we get ready to share this final story with you. This is a story that I reported on in the past about this terrorist attack on William Sims, who was a young musician out of the Richmond, California area. Again, two of these terrorists is still on the loose. So I'm going to share this article, some of this article from San Francisco Chronicle. That's at sfchronicle.com. They wrote an article today, I believe it was published today, where they're talking about or describing his last moments. Again, as we talked about yesterday, the last moments of the victims of that terrorist, Dylan Roof, and how people allow fear to freeze them, basically, to where they just sat there and died, basically allowed this man to kill him with minimum resistance. You can't do that. You can't do that in those situations. And I know that's easy for me to say, but people got to start training. I don't care how old you are. You need to be taking a self-defense class. You need to know how to turn just regular items into weapons. But again, we need to be aware of all times that this is a battlefield, that it is people out here on these streets who are not only allowed to kill us, but encouraged to kill us. All right. So I'm going to throw up the picture of these terrorists. Let me see if I got those. Yeah, I do. Two of these terrorists is still on the loose. They only got one. And again, right before the break, I kind of ranted about, I'm not seeing the United States government, I'm not seeing the state of California, the surrounding states, the way that y'all went after Christopher Doerner, found him, burned him alive in a cabin in the woods. I'm not seeing that same sort of response to these white terrorists. And I know why. It's because it's a system of race. I don't care how many showcase black proxies you got working for you. The system, the evidence suggests that this is a racist system, and it shows us that every day. So, in this article, they said, say, minutes before he was found barely conscious, lying in the street outside of an El Sobrante pool hall, the victim of what authorities call, here we go again, a hate crime slaying. This was a terrorist attack. William Sims drank a beer inside. Surveillance video from inside the Capri Club that captures the final moments of Sims' life suggests that he was a bar regular, just a friendly, beloved musician described by friends and family. His shirt untucked, Sims, who was black, can be seen walking through the Capri Club's Dutch door in the early morning hours of November the 12th and shaking hands with a white man. He touched hands with two white women. Leaning on the bar, he ordered a bottled beer. How much do I owe you, Sims, 28 years old, asked. 3 1/4, the white female bartender responded. Sims rummaged through a pocket, pulled out crumpled bills and change. Sims and the man he greeted inspected Sims' light-colored shirt. Sims turned to go to the bathroom, but before he closed the door, he said something to a person out of the frame. When he returned to stand at the bar, his shirt is neatly tucked into his dark pants. Hip-hop music played, and Sims' conversations were punctuated by his laugh. He high-fived another white person. Am I painting a picture? Are they painting a picture for you here of this man's mistake? But minutes after he left the Capri Club, authorities have said Sims was jumped, robbed, beaten, and then shot steps from the bar's driveway on Apian Way. His back pocket had been pulled out in a bullet casing was found 3 feet from his head. One of the suspects, Daniel Porter Kelly, 31, is in jail charged with murder, robbery, and a hate crime enhancement. Again, no terrorist charges. The other two suspects identified by authorities are Ray Simmons, 32, of Hercules, and Daniel Ortega, 31, of Novato. Both remain at large. So again, Mr. Sims was killed like, let me see, what, 2 weeks ago? Week and a half ago? And I'm just not seeing a response from law enforcement in hunting down these terrorists. Let's see. Sims deserves justice, and I won't stop asking questions until it happens. But Colin Cooper, a lawyer for Porter Kelly, will ask the court Friday to set his client free. He sees nothing that implicates his client in the evidence turned over by investigators. Here's why. Surveillance video and a search warrant affidavit raise serious questions about whether Porter Kelly was even present when Sims was fatally shot. From the search warrant affidavit, a female witness said Sims was met with hostility and people in the bar were being mean to him. She told investigators that Sims was involved in an altercation with Ortega and other males behind the bar. She identified Porter Kelly and Simmons as the other males. Yet, according to the affidavit, she also told investigators that it was Simmons who fired two shots at Sims. She said the shots were fired from the car she was driving, which carried Simmons and Ortega. She said Simmons fired the shots when Sims ran alongside the vehicle, yelling at them to stop. Now, why was he running alongside the vehicle telling them to stop? I hope because they called him a nigger or something. Man, come on. You by yourself. And yes, you were by yourself. I don't know how many white people you knew in there, but you were by yourself. And it appears you was the only black person, non-white person, in this bar. So apparently this female key witness was with these guys, and she came forward, and she's given her statement of what happened. She was driving a car. She was like, no, y'all not going to get me for driving a getaway. So I don't know. Details are kind of short right now. Lots of unknowns still. But I don't see the rest of the white community turning these people in. They hide now somewhere. And if it seems to me, if it's left up to law enforcement, they may never be found. Let me see, another witness who spoke to investigators is Ortega's mother, Renee Brown, who has been arrested on suspicion of interfering with the investigation. The affidavit shows that Brown told investigators that her son called her and said he had been in a fight and that Simmons had shot a man. On the night he died, Sims and a white male friend, who was also interviewed by detectives, hung out at Ed's Place, a bar on San Pablo Dam Road, that is about a mile from the Capri Club. They drove 20 miles to Concord to sing karaoke at the Captain's Chest Cocktail Lounge before returning to Ed's Place. So they were bar hopping. Let me see. They left Ed's around 1 a.m. Sims told a friend he was going to Jack in the Box, a 3-minute drive down the road before going home. The friend didn't know Sims was going to the Capri Club and told investigators that Sims had said he felt uncomfortable going there due to his race. Now, if that's true, you knew. Then why did you go if this is true? See, not even paying attention to our instincts, our survival instincts, just ignoring them. That's not being brave by going up into a bar full of racist suspects and redneck crackers drinking alcohol. That's not brave. That's not being brave. It's being very foolish and not recognizing this battlefield and that you have a target on your back. Oh, man. But they're saying that the surveillance video, this is the attorney saying for one of the terrorists, said that the surveillance inside the Capri Club shows the exact opposite, claiming that nobody was being mean to him. And it goes on and goes on. All right. So These two terrorists are still on the loose. If you see these men, you shouldn't approach them at all. If they approach you, if you are armed, you need to be dangerous. You need to be more dangerous than them. Because if you're a black person, they probably aim to kill you and steal your vehicle and your money and rob you like they robbed their victim, Mr. William Sims. It's time for us to stop acting like we live in a very peaceful place, the best place on earth, where there's so much freedom and justice in this great democracy, because that would belie, that would just not be accurate to state in light of not only past history, but recent history. So, tell you, my daughter is on her way to a redneck cracker state, although we live in a redneck cracker state. But I told her, you and your friends need to be extra careful on this drive up there. And make sure that you armed. Because you live behind these enemy lines. You not only got to look out for the slave catchers, but you got to look out. Because, see, they're going to pass through an area in North Carolina where they just had a parade for Donald Trump. The KKK just had a parade. North Carolina has been known for the most due-paying racist crackers who joined the KKK, that they felt so strongly about their religion that they donated money. North Carolina is known for that. And that area that they got to go pass through, I told her, y'all need to really be careful. Don't even stop for gas. Matter of fact, make sure you get enough gas to get to where you're going without having to stop. Get all your snacks and sodas and what have you. In fact, it may be good if you don't even drink no sodas until you get to your destination. It's only like 2 hours away. You can go 2 hours without drinking. That way you don't have to stop to use the bathroom. So that is what I'm telling my children. I don't know what you're telling yours, but you should be telling them something similar. That's our program. Again, coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Tando Radio Show will be on air. I believe that'll be the last program on this Friday, December the 9th, 2016. Make sure you check out some of the other programming. We do have this station called Black Talk Radio, but there are other independent stations on our platform, blacktalkradionetwork.com. They also produce podcasts, and you can find a wealth of information on our website. If you think that independent black media is important, if you're tired of black people being lied to by these, as they would call them, celebrity figureheads on TV, then please consider making a small donation to our North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project as we continue our media operations, and it is needed more than ever because we're not getting any kind of accurate information or reporting from the mass media that is targeting black people. So instead of complaining about it, we got to implement a solution, and this particular solution requires funds, so we hope that you will contribute. Thank you for watching and listening. I'll be back on air Monday with another broadcast of Black Talk Radio News. Y'all be safe out there over this weekend. I cannot stress that enough. Do not do like Mr. William Sims and go by yourself to an all-white or predominantly white pool hall. Use his tale as a cautionary tale, a warning. All right, you've been lulled to sleep thinking that, oh, these people have accepted us now and they're all our friends. And I'm not saying all white people are our enemies or mean to do us harm. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's far too many of them, in the millions. So you better act like you behind enemy lines like I do if you want to preserve your life, and come up with codified ways to undermine this system, like we heard from Mr. What was his name again? Let's get that brother name out. The attorney Eli Mister. who says that black jurors should acquit black defendants charged with all violent crimes against white people as retaliation for these people keep setting the murderers of black people free. All right, so y'all be safe out there over the weekend, and peace and blessings to all.